Luke chapter 19. Parable of the 10 minas. Parable of the 10 minas. Jesus said, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. And he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. This is money. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him. Not his servants, but his subjects. His subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and he returned home. And he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy with a very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. And his master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. And then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I've kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have at least collected it with interest? And then he said to those standing by, take his one mina and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And sir, they said, he's already got 10. And he replied, the new king replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine, those who didn't want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, I thank you for the presence of your Spirit in our time of worship today, Lord. The depth of worship, the magnificence of your kingdom. Yes. Lord, we thank you that you are here among us this morning, Lord. And Lord, that you've got a program, that you've got plans for us, Lord. And Lord, we want to open ourselves up to what you have for us, Lord. We want to be on track with you. We want to hear from you, Lord. We do not want to be living our lives with a misdirection, Lord, with misunderstanding, Lord, with less than a fullness, Lord, of your truth and a fullness of your plan. So, Lord, I pray an anointing to hear from you this morning, Lord, an anointing to speak your word, an anointing to hear that word and to put it into action, Lord, and we will give you praise for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. I am loath to do this. For somebody who's, this is their first time, but bro, you got the Chargers jersey on here this morning, eh? We're not going to talk about the Chargers today, though. We are going to be talking about San Diego Padres. Yes, spring training is in session. Pitchers and catchers have shown up for duty in wherever they're at in Arizona. And there is anticipation that is happening in Arizona. I'll tell you what, I'm excited for the new season. Amen? I'm more excited than you, bro, because Chargers season, long time coming. Yes, it is easy to be excited about the Padres. You think about the Padres? Uh-oh, there we go. Oh, he's not there no more. Is that what you said, Carlos? Yes, Adrian Gonzalez, the man, has now been traded to the I don't know, perhaps hated Boston. Is anybody a Boston fan here? Joe's friend, man, Boston Red Sox fan. Now, notice, Adrian, not looking happy, right? He's kind of looking serious. Now, is Adrian looking happy there? Adrian's looking happy. You know why? Because he is expected to sign a six to seven year contract at $25 million per season with the Boston Red Sox. You know what? Boston Red Sox are all about winning. You know what we got? We got this guy. This guy is Chad Qualls, coming off injury-plagued season, had knee surgery in 2009, scored him for $2.25 million, hoping to make the pitching staff. Hoping. What did I say? Hoping to make the pitching staff. You know, the Boston Red Sox are all about winning, and the Padres are all about being competitive. And you know what? It can be rather disappointing, because sometimes the Red Sox fans look like that, and the Padres fans look like that. And you know what? We can show up today and we can be thinking, that's just not fair. And I'm here to tell you, folks, life is not always fair. Can I get a witness on that? We're talking about the kingdom of God. And as we hear this story, sometimes we can think that, hey, the kingdom of God is not fair. We're going to take a look at that today. We're going to talk about fairness in life and fairness in the kingdom of God. Jesus is headed for Jerusalem. In fact, this is the last in our series on the kingdom of God going through Luke, because next week, if I were to continue on, we'd be heading right into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So we'll probably come back to Luke on Palm Sunday and for Easter Sunday. But Jesus is headed right up there. And everybody was stoked. Everybody was excited. The people were excited. The disciples were excited. They had seen the power of God. Many of the people that were following Jesus had felt the power of God, where he would put his hand on them and they would be healed. He'd put his hand on them and demons would be cast out of their lives. Things would be transformed. Amen? Amen. Some of those guys, the disciples, had used his power. That they had been part. They had healed people. They had transformed the sick. They had cast out demons. They had done all these things. People were excited. And Jesus was going to show up to Jerusalem and bring the kingdom of God. He was the son of David. He was the promised Messiah. He was going to bring changes. And Jesus says, hold on now. Let me tell you about a story about the kingdom of God. He says, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. And he says, guys, you're not getting it right. Let me tell you how the kingdom of God's really going to show up. Let me tell you about how it's really going to happen. Because he says, the kingdom of God's different than what you expect. The kingdom of God is not going to be delivered to you in Jerusalem. Let me tell you about the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is about advancements. The kingdom of God is about progress. The kingdom of God is about victory. The kingdom of God is about participation. And you need to come to an understanding of that, because you have improper expectations of the kingdom of God. And maybe you sit here today and expecting the kingdom of God just to come to you. And this message from Jesus that was delivered 2,000 years ago about the 10 minus is a message for you to get on track with God. We okay today? Amen. Amen. All right. Journey to be made by a new king. He says, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. And one thing I notice about this, there's a lot of things I notice about this, but this is a long trip. And Jesus is speaking about the trip that he is going to take, because he is indeed the new king. Can I get a witness on that? And Jesus is on a trip. It's a long trip, and it's a trip that is going to go to Jerusalem, but it's a trip that is going to go through Jerusalem. Amen? It is a trip that is going to the cross, but it's a trip that is going through the cross. Amen? It is a trip. Come on now, I need a little bit of help. There's some room here, and you guys can be a little bit more vocal, because, see, it is a trip that is to the tomb, but it is through the tomb. Amen? And see, he's coming back from his trip. It's a long trip. There is a lot of distance. And he says, let me tell you about the kingdom. Where's the error? The error is that they thought the kingdom of God was coming quickly. They thought that when Jesus showed up to Jerusalem, that the trip was going to be over. They thought that all they had to do was show up in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, there was going to be the kingdom delivered to them. Hey, just like it comes to your door. Here's the kingdom. I'm like, oh, I was hoping for a different flavor. Can you come back tomorrow? He says, no. You misunderstand the kingdom of my Father. You misunderstand the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom is more like a man who went on a long trip. And this long trip is going to create distance. God is all about distance. Because with distance, he gives you freedom. He gives you the opportunity to choose. He'll set you up, and then he'll let you make some choices. Question today is, how will you choose? What is most important to you? He set up Adam and Eve. Amen? Put them in the Garden of Eden. Said, you're all dialed in, except for what? One thing. Don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he did what? He gave them some distance, so that they could make a choice. They chose poorly, impacted all the rest of us. My question for you today is, what do you do with the distance that you have from God? What are the choices that you make? I'll tell you what, we had a dynamic time of worship this morning. I hope that was not your only time of worship this week. I hope the choices that you made this week were to enter into the presence of God, perhaps in a different fashion, but to enter into his presence, to enter into his word, and to study, and to prayer, and to have that proximity to God and to the kingdom. Because I'll tell you what, we have an opportunity to come close. Amen? Amen. All right. He says, there are some, I'll tell you what, there's some who fight the program. You know people like that? They don't have anything to do with God. They're trying to pull God down, trying to tear his program up, all that kind of stuff. He says there some of his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be king. We don't want this man to be our king. We want to have freedom. His Bible tells us that his subjects hated him. And I got to ask you, why do you think they hated him? He was nobly born. He went off to have himself anointed, appointed king. He didn't just say, I'm king. I don't care what you think. No. He apparently, in the parable, was playing by the rules. And so we have to ask ourselves, why would these guys hate him so much? And I come up with the answer that there are many who like to make up their own rules. Can I get a witness on that, please? See, in the case of Adam and Eve, right? Hey, man, that stuff looks good. God will probably let us off. Let's go have a little taste. Got that blender, baby? Let's make us a smoothie. Yeah. God wasn't having it. But we like to make our own rules. And we are surrounded by people who like to make their own rules. And in many cases, it's just that we don't want to submit to the authority of another person. Don't you tell me what to do. And so it wasn't the case of the Pharisees. They weren't looking for a king. We don't want a king. We like the things the way they are. And the Pharisees got real good at making up their own rules. And they opposed the Lord. Bible tells us that nations will rise up against the Lord. Kings will rise up against the Lord. I think we see that today. I'll tell you what, not a whole lot of people loving our Lord Jesus Christ in our country and across the world. He's so offensive. Check it out. Revelation. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth. Revelation 19, 19. The beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and against his army. I'll tell you what. They're saying, we don't want you to be king so bad that we are going to take up arms against you. There are a lot of people who like to make their own rules, to make their own way, to have their own issues solved for them. See, we just like to make our own decisions. We don't like people telling us what to do. What choices are you making? I think it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. I don't know when it was. I told a story. I asked some of the guys, I tell the story Wednesday night? I said, no, he told a different story. But Joe's walking around, you know, with his shirt off. You know, he's looking kind of buff these days. And I had that Icy Hot that I talked about the other day. You know, I was putting on my back, and I just went over to him, just kind of rubbed it on his chest, just like a big old shoo. And I said, check that out, bud. You know, he's like, not even hot, Dad. I said, really? So I took that thing, and it's kind of like a deodorant stick, right? You kind of rub it, and I said, check this out. You know, and he's like, what is he, 14, right? Yep. 14. He's like, yeah, this isn't even anything. I said, okay, man. I said, but I'll tell you what, don't even think about putting that on your armpit, because then you'll know what hot is. Really? Oh, yeah? He goes, one swipe. I go, remember, Joe, it's called Icy Hot. It goes on cold, and then it gets hot. He's like, what do you mean? And it gets hot after a little while. But he toughed it out, you know? And I said, maybe you and your buddy, the Boston Red Sox fan, you guys can have underarm Icy Hot contest tomorrow. How many swipes can you each take and beat? Who's the real man? Why do I tell you that? Because, see, he's like, don't tell me what I can do. Don't tell me what I can't do, because I think I can do anything. And so often we live our lives like that. Amen? All right, let's continue on with our story. Rewards in the kingdom. Man, I tell you, babe, singing that My Reward song, it's just like right from this. It says, so he called out to one of his, called 10 of his servants, and he gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work until I come back. And our Lord gives his servants opportunity. Amen? The Lord giving you an opportunity. Amen? All right, let's talk about it. New King gives out wealth. He gave out a mina. How many of you guys got a mina? Maybe you have a mina bird. It's like a mina. It's not really a word that we use. A mina is what a laborer would earn in about 3 months. It's like 100 days labor, 100 days of wages. And the new king, if we take it into our, you know, I mean, some people might hear this on the tape. You know, I don't know where they're at. But, you know, let's just say $100 a day. Urban wages. Okay? We're going to call it $3,000. Right? Now, how would you like somebody to come up to you? Mic goes right here, man. Sometimes I pull stuff like this and say, who wants it? And like, somebody coming up. $3,000. Okay, $3,000 bills. Wouldn't you love somebody just come up and just say, Thomas, here you go, babe. Right. Now, what's on top of that, bud?
A $1
bill, yeah, because I am not the new king. So I have $31 bills here. But you get the vision, okay? See, if it was hundreds, this would be a mina. And he took his 10 servants. He said, here, three grand. I'm going on a trip. Put the money to work. I'll be back. I'll be checking up on you. I'm going to see what you do with my money. Take a look at this transaction. All 10 got the same amount. All 10 were going to be checked up on at the end. And it signifies the investment that the Lord would make in every one of his servants, every one of his subjects. It signifies the gift of new life that you receive from the Lord when you come to him. Amen? He says, oh, here you go. Let me hook you up. Let me get you started. I'm going to give you new life. I want to see what you're going to do with it, though. I'm going to be coming back one day. And there's going to be an eval. All 10 of these guys are going to be evaluated on what they did. My question for you is, what are you doing with the opportunity that the Lord has given you? What are you doing with your new life in Christ? Because he's going to come back one day. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. He's on a long trip, but he is coming back. All right. Talking about the rewards in the kingdom. Things turn out nicely for the diligent. Says, he was made king, however, even though the guys hated him, and he returned home, and he sent for the servants who had given the money to. He wanted to find out what they had gained. What's your increase? What was the gain? And the first one came and said, sir, your mine has earned you 10 more. A 10 to 1. You think you had to work for that, folks? You know what? 10 to 1 return is a little bit more than luck. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, got lucky at the racetrack, Lord. You got 10. I don't think it was that. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. How many of you want to hear the Lord say that one day? I tell you what, I hunger for that day when the Lord would say, well done, Bob Metz. Man, you're in the hood, getting busy. Yes! That's what I'm waiting for. I don't care what other people say. Amen. I'm waiting for what the Lord says. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you have been trustworthy with this small thing. $3,000. One mina. Chicken feed to me. Chicken feed to you, $3,000? No, man, I'll take $3,000. Because you have been faithful, trustworthy in this small thing, you take charge of 10 cities. Oh, I went from $3,000 to 10 cities. There are opportunities for incredible gain in the kingdom of God, folks. That gain is going to come with effort. It take effort, Pastor Dave? Amen. Pastor Dave said, yeah, it's been a hard month since I've come back. You guys are working him hard. What kind of effort are you putting in for the kingdom? Like, what do you mean, man? I kind of like that pizza picture. I like the whole delivery idea. And that's why Jesus is telling the story. No. Kingdom of God doesn't get delivered to you. Kingdom of God is about participation. Kingdom of God is about victory. Kingdom of God is about advancement. Can I get a witness on that from somebody? So I got to ask you this question. What are you doing for the kingdom? What are you doing for the king? See, the rewards are massive. The rewards are giant. Jesus talks about rewards. He says, behold, I'm coming soon. I'm going to get back from my long trip. I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. So my question is, what are you doing? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your resources? What are you doing with your new life? Do you have time for the Lord? Are you making an investment? He says, give this guy 10 cities. And I want you to notice that the reward is on an entirely different scale. I mean, he comes back and he's going to put 10 of these. Whoa, here's 10. $30,000. Here you go, $30,000. He's like, oh, my $30,000 is going away. And maybe what? He said, I'm hoping to cut. Maybe you'll give me a commission. Give me 10%, right? I don't know what he's thinking, but he's saying, this ain't my money. And the gain is not my money. But maybe he'll cut me in somehow. And he says, here you go, new king. Here's 30 grand plus the original three. 33 grand. He says, that's nothing. How about 10 cities? How much you figure a city is worth? 300,000? I mean, take a look. We're putting this in today's dollars, right? 3,000. What's a city worth? What's the city of San Diego worth? 300 million? A billion? $3 billion? I mean, the scale of the reward is just to a whole nother level of what we put in. Is anybody excited by that today, by the way? I tell you what, he's like, nah, I'm too busy for the Lord. You know, hey, he gave me $3,000. I'm down to about 2,900. I'm trying to stretch out that last 100. Let me see another verse I got for you here. He says, Matthew 25:21. This is where that reward song comes from. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. A response to faithfulness and a response to diligence. Aaron was talking about the Toomey test. Looking around for everybody. Sally, Timothy, Thomas, Sandra, Aaron's downstairs, Natty. That's everybody in the English class, right? And Ramiro just had to go out with a child. Christina and Balthazar, they're in the Spanish Toomey class. But first test for the English class was this last Thursday. Everybody was freaking out. I'm telling you, man. We're going, calm down, chill. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. And they were studying like crazy. Three different study groups last week. And I don't know how many they got this week. Got another test Thursday, right? Yeah. Another quiz coming. It's relentless. Oh, and Pastor Dave is in there. I'm sorry. Pastor Dave got a new iPad just so he could read the stuff because his eyes don't work right on the book. Diligence, faithfulness, and effort. Talk to everybody coming out of that class. The lowest grade I heard about was a B. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. A little round of applause there. And you know what? That's diligence. Yeah, did you get more than two wrong? Oh, see, I got none wrong. What, there's some people got something wrong? Aaron said, hey, the Lord blessed me with 100. We'll find out. But see, there's faithfulness, there's diligence, there's effort, and there's work. And what happens? A reward. Now this is just study. This is prepping to do something awesome, but there is a deposit that is going into each one of these folks for a great work to be accomplished and a great reward to be manifest in their lives. When? When Jesus comes back. Amen?
Amen.
All right, point number three. Some guys just don't get it. Some people just don't get it. Says, another servant came and said, now there's a guy, he left out the guy with five. There's a guy with five minus, and he said, I made five, give him five cities. Okay. Last servant we talked about, there's seven other servants had some type of gain, I got to think. You know, they at least put it on deposit, they did something, they got some gain. So we're just talking about three. The guy got 10, the guy got five, and the guy did nothing. Another servant came and said, sir, here's your mina, nice and shiny. I've kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I've kept it laid away, piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. And there are some people who hear about the kingdom of God and they respond in fear. They are afraid of the king. And I want to let you know this morning, folks, that this is not an accurate assessment of our Lord. Amen. This is not how we are supposed to view Jesus Christ. You look at this story, and I got to ask you the question, where is the hardness? Where is this hardness coming from? What I see is not the hardness of our Lord being displayed, but the smallness of the guy who had the one mina. Amen? This guy is not hard. God is not hard, but God is just. And for some people, that's going to be just as bad. Let me say that again. God is not hard, but God is just. And some people are going to find that not at all pleasing. The guy with the 10 cities had no problem with the king. The guy with 5 minas, no problem with the king at all. And this guy says, the king says to this to his servants, take this guy's 1 mina and give it to the guy who has 10. And we just go, you know what, that's just not fair. That's not fair. He says, this is key, last verse. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. The kingdom of God is not about fairness, folks. The kingdom of God is about advancement. The kingdom of God is about participation. Talk about it. God, Lord talks about it. Jesus talks about it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He says, I tell you that you are Peter. And he just says, who do the people say that I am? And they said, they're all wrong. Who do you say I am, Peter? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And it is a picture of the gates of hell stationary and the kingdom of God overwhelming the gates of hell. And the kingdom of God is about a kingdom of advancement and a kingdom of victory. And we get that advancement and we get that victory from your participation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll high five the second row when I get a witness from them. Thank you very much for that, Eva. There you go, Larry. I'll take that. Kingdom of God is advancing. And I want to know, are you advancing or are you waiting for a delivery? It's a little early today, Lord. Can you come back in an hour? Some people don't want to be troubled by the Lord. Some people don't want to get up for the Lord. Some people just don't want to be bothered. I'll take the kingdom when it's convenient for me. What do you do with the kingdom of God? Are you looking to see how you can plug in? Or are you just waiting for a knock? Okay. All right. Some people just don't get it. The Lord's enemies are not going to be forgotten, folks. Lord's enemies are not going to be forgotten. Tell those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them over here and kill them in front of me. And we'd be thinking, wow, that is so harsh. What was that, Lisa? Oh, well. Hey, it is what it is, folks. You want to be an enemy of the king? You know, why would they want to be an enemy of the king? You know why? Because they want to be their own king. I don't need you. I'll be my king. What would that mean? They would get to make their own choices. They would get to keep all the money. They would be subject to no one. I mean, that's cool. That sounds good to me. Who wants to be their own boss? I'll be my own boss. Yeah. But what they forget, their mistake, is they don't realize that there's a judgment coming. Oh. They didn't realize what it would really mean. Bring them here in front of me and kill them. Guess what, folks? At that point, they are going to realize their mistake. Amen? I'll tell you what, it's all over the gospel. Matthew 13, 40 through 42. As weeds are pulled up. He calls these people, these enemies of his, they're like weeds. Well, that's so unfair. Oh, yeah. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil, and they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, they thought they would be a king. But they missed out on the most important issue of all. That when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that He's also your protector. Amen? See, when you're going to be your own king, you've got to be able to handle your own issues. And I found in my life after 29 years, and I'm 40 now, 50 now, 50, 49 now. See, I'm so messed up I can't even remember all the enemies I got. I got to have somebody covering my back. Check it out. This is what the Bible says. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, okay? You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and what's going to happen? You will be saved. Saved from what? Judgment. Saved from that lake of burning sulfur. Saved from where there is going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can I get a witness on that? Hallelujah. All right, we're just moving on, folks. There was a man of noble birth. He went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. Folks, there's no one more nobly born than our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no country more distant than heaven. And there is no greater king than our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He's going to come back with a question. What did you do while I was gone? What choices did you make? What did you do with the freedom to choose? Would you make me king? Or will you be king? When He comes back, there is going to be a time of great reward. There is going to be a time of great disappointment. And for some, it will be an incredible time of loss. What will it be for you? Are you winning? Are you losing? Or are you just treading water? Because Jesus will come back. Say, what did you do while I was gone? What was most important to you? It's a big question. Lisa's going to come up and play a little bit for us. Kingdom of God. Most important thing is to get in, folks. Say, how do I get in? We just talked about it. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And you'll be saved. You can't advance in the kingdom of God. You can't find victory in the kingdom of God. You cannot participate in the kingdom of God until you get in. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to deliver the kingdom to you, but He'll give you a ticket to get in, and that ticket is purchased by His blood as He hangs on a cross at Calvary and says, I died for your sin. That makes sense? Yes. What do you do to get into heaven? You declare Christ is Lord. You believe in your heart and nothing more, and you will be in the kingdom of God. You'll be part of the winning crowd. Maybe you are here this morning. And the Holy Spirit will do this. The Holy Spirit is saying, you are not in. You don't believe that I died for you. You believe that your sins are too great for me. You believe that there are issues that are bigger than me. You don't trust me. You want to be king. Right now, this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is whispering to your heart and say, but I got a ticket for you. I have a ticket for eternity for you, paid for in my blood. And that I am bringing to you this morning. And you can say, oh Lord, I have been so foolish. I want in, Lord. This is not something you got to do every week. This is something you do one time. Say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I need your help to get into your kingdom. I want to get new life. I want to get that mine. I want to get that $3,000 deposit, that new life, Holy Spirit deposit in my life. Today's the day that you can enter into the kingdom. And I just ask you, just pray, bow your heads. You're here this morning, and the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. And he's saying, child, this is for you this morning. You are lost, and you need to be found. You need to surrender your life to our Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that Christ, that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. No one's looking around this morning, but the Holy Spirit is all over you, saying, this is for you, my child. Just want you to, if nobody's looking around, I just want you to raise your hand up and say, that's me this morning. Right over here. Somebody else would say, that's for me. I'm going to sacrifice the Lord right here, 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 here. Anybody else say, I'm lost and I want to be found. Lord, I surrender my life to you. I don't want to be king anymore. I don't want to be queen anymore. I want to follow you. Anybody else say, that's me today? Didn't put your hand up before, saying, Lord, just on you. Lord Jesus, for those, Lord, who have said, I got it. I'm lost. I got to be found. Lord, you are my Savior. You are my King, Lord. I receive your gift of a new life, Lord. I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that I am made new. I believe that you are turning my life around. I believe that I'm going to follow you the rest of my life. You believe all that. And you are the recipient of one mina, brand new life. Everybody gets a shot, opportunity, saying, okay, child, I've got something for you. In Jesus' name, everyone said. Now, what do you do with that? Well, one of the first things you're going to do is get baptized in water. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. Hey, you're going to believe. I want you to start following me in obedience. You're going to get baptized in water. You're going to spend some time in my word. You're going to be guided by my spirit. There's going to be some big old massive issues that are coming your way. Amen? He said, see, because now that you're in my kingdom, now that I have given you new life, I am looking for you to do something with it. I am looking for you to be part of the team, part of the kingdom of God. Can I get a, you know what I'm, see, this guy right here, he said earlier this week, he said, you know what? I'm 71 years old. Where am I ever going to get a chance to invest in the kingdom of God? And this guy right here is in Bible college at 71 years old. He's working with Gail. He started Bible study over there at the City Heights Center, bringing a message of hope. And I'm telling everyone in here that there is an opportunity to you becoming involved in the kingdom of God. Can I get a witness on that? See, the kingdom of God is about advancement. The kingdom of God is about participation. The kingdom of God is about victory. Amen. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. Help me now. Come on now. See, now if you have been invested with that Holy Spirit, right now you're thinking, whoa, I need to be doing something. I need to be getting involved. Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am. I'll serve you. Here I am. Mold me. You have been given a pastoral staff here. My job, prepare you for works of service that God created for you before the foundation of the world. Pastor Dave, working with hospitality. Why? Because God put that job for him before the foundation of the world. Natty, working in the kitchen. Why? God's got that job for her before the foundation of the world. That ain't where she's ended up. Guess what? We're going to need somebody else to work in the kitchen. Why? Because she's getting a promotion. To where? I don't know yet. But see, you might be getting the promotion to do what she's doing. Kingdom of God is upwardly mobile. Can I get a witness on that? See, and you're sitting here today and the Holy Spirit is on you saying, I am ready to be used by you in a mighty way. Amen?
Amen.
My drummer up here? I saw him up. Oh, he's not up here yet. Go get my drummer. We're going to sing that song. I'll tell you what. You are here this morning. You're saying, you know what? I'm ready to be used in the kingdom of God. I want you to stand up where you're at. To say, you know what? I'm ready to be used. We're going to sing this song. And we're just going to kind of celebrate. And you want to come forward. I want to pray with you. I want to anoint you with oil. Gail's going to come up. Timothy, take Larry up to the keys, would you? Come on up here. Martin's going to come up. We're going to pray for you. We're going to do that. We're just going to pray. You want to be used. Everybody's standing now. You can be sitting if you don't want to be used by the Lord. That's okay. But you want to get used by the Lord. We want to pray for you. Ramiro's going to come up over here. We want to pray an anointing upon you for service that you be used in a mighty way by God. We're going to sing this song. Never going to be shaken. Amen. Devil's coming after you. You're going to be shaken, Thomas? Are you going to be shaken?
Yes.
Never going to be shaken by the enemy. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is our protection.
Are you going to pray while we're singing that?
We're going to pray for people who are going to come up. We're going to pray for them.
Okay.
Amen? You can do
yeah,
that?
I thought we were doing the other first. Sorry, Pastor Bob.
We're going to do this song right here. Amen? All right. Come on up. The devil's going to try and shake you. We're going to pray for you. Amen.
Yeah, not my reward.